Hi, I'm Femi Oke. You're watching the stream. On today's episode, there are thousands of migrants on the border of Belarus and Poland. They're trying to get from Belarus to the European Union via Poland, but the authorities in Poland won't let them. Here's what some migrants told Al Jazeera earlier.
Even if they give us money, we're not going to stay in Poland. Just open the fence and we will not stay. The situation is real bad here. We're cold. The fire is suffocating us and we can't breathe. No one has come to speak with us about our situation.
They're using pepper spray and water and tear gas against the children. Is this the human rights of Europe? 10 days we've been here without water, temperatures are -5, and what can we do? Where are the human rights organizations? We were a good country. They invaded Iraq in 2003. We've lost everything. We've sold our cars and sold our houses. They've destroyed our country, and now this is their human rights?
We haven't slept since yesterday. Our feet are freezing and the only word we can hear is attention, attention. We have kids, we have wives. If they don't want to allow us through, then return us back to our countries. We haven't eaten for 5 days. Only a little food is available for women and kids. We need a safe place. We need a safe country.
A humanitarian crisis just waiting there to happen. Lydia, Lukas, Franek are on our panel today. Thank you so much for joining us. Lydia, please introduce yourself to the stream audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi there. My name is Lydia Manolidou. I'm a reporter based in Greece. I cover migration and refugees here in this country, but also in Europe more broadly. And I'm also a fellow with the Center for Refugee Studies at York University in Toronto.
Good to have you. Hello to you, Lukas. Thanks for being on the stream. Please tell everybody who you are.
Nice to see you here. I'm Łukasz Jasina. I'm a spokesman of the Polish Foreign Affairs Ministry, former journalist and historian.
And finally, Franek. Nice to have you on the stream. Introduce yourself to our global audience.
I am also a former journalist. Now I work with Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, a Belarusian exiled leader. She won her elections in 2020, but she was forced to leave her country because Lukashenko, our dictator, rigged these elections.
All right. So good to have you all of you guests. I'm going to open up the conversation to our audience who are watching on YouTube. The comments section is right here. You have comments or questions for a story that we're taking straight out of the headlines. Please let us know what they are and I will put them to the guests. We're going to start on YouTube. This is such a story, a big story, that we've got questions already. All right, so why are the migrants so motivated to cross into the European Union? Lydia, can you give us a perspective? This is something that you've been reporting on for quite a long time.
Yeah, so right now I am back in Greece, but I spent about a week on the Poland-Belarus border on the Polish side. And I think that, this question is key because despite all the difficulties that have been reported widely at this point for refugees to be able to actually cross into the EU through Belarus, people were stuck for weeks, some for months. In freezing temperatures, with little food, with no water, without basic things that you need to survive, essentially. There have been several deaths reported. I was just seeing a headline from The Guardian right before coming on this panel about a 1.5-year-old or 1-year-old from Syria that was reported dead, was there with the baby was there with their family and has just died. And so, despite all of that, people are still choosing to make the journey to the Belarus border to try to come into the EU through Minsk. And so I think, I cannot.
But Lydia, I'm not hearing why. Let me share this with, because Suzuka's, Poland has been quite firm on this matter. They do not want these migrants coming into Poland. Why do you think they're even trying to get into Poland?
Because we are the country lying on the border of the European Union with the dictator who is a dictator in Belarus. I mean, that's Polish-Belarusian border is a problem. firstly, I would like to comment one thing. We want immigrants, but we want them if they would come to our country legally, with the visas obtained, for example, in General Consular Office in Erbil, and they will fly to our airport in Warsaw or someone else. We are open for the immigrants, but they need to come to our country legally. We cannot let anyone to aggressively cross and illegally cross our borders. That's a right of every state. And also, those poor people are victims of the person whose victims are people like Franek and Svetlana Tikhanovskaya. He cheated them, he took their money, he organized transport for them to Minsk, he told them lies that there will be a possibility of crossing the border, and also he used them as an instrument in his hybrid war with European Union, who told him a year ago that he's no more legal president of Belarus. And that's the beginning of this problem, which makes this little different than other waves of the migrants, because let's say this direction through Belarus to Poland was organized artificially. It's not the path of the migrants, which was, to be honest, like a few years ago or a year ago through the Mediterranean Sea or Turkey.
Franek, pick up, because that's quite an accusation that Belarus is deliberately enticing migrants to the border to push them into the European Union.
Can you repeat?
Yeah, this is for Franek. He's going to pick up on your assessment of the situation, that this is deliberately done by Belarus. Franek.
Sure. I think the humanitarian crisis we are seeing right now near Polish border cannot be separated from political crisis in Belarus, which started in 2020 or even more in 19, when President Lukashenko came to power. He destroyed the parliament, he destroyed the democracy, he became the authoritarian type ruler without the parliament, without media. And for 27 years, he was ruling the country. People hated him. And in 2020, they uprised against him. There were hundreds, thousands of people on the streets. He basically cracked down on these protests, put 35,000 people in jails, including all presidential candidates. They were either jailed or pushed, forced to go in exile. And he started the terror in the country. Poland and Lithuania supported this movement, supported this democratic aspirations of the people. And right now we are seeing revenge. And Lukashenko is taking revenge against Poland, Lithuania for their active, brave position to support Belarus democratic forces. And this is just the mean of blackmail of the European Union to show them, you see, guys, you don't like me, you don't recognize me, and hear what I can do against you.
Let me just bring into our conversation the Vice President of Open Dialogue Foundation. He speaks directly to the point that you guests are making, which is migrants are being abused. Let's take a look.
Through limiting access to the press and civil society, the ruling party successfully spins a narrative of the situation being solely a battlefront, with Polish troops guarding Europe from a barbarian invasion. No one is doubting that Lukashenko is using migrants to destabilize the EU. But Morawiecki and Kaczyński are using them just as cynically for their own political interest. This crisis will continue as long as the international community doesn't see through that, and instead of focusing just on the threat, forces Poland to respect international law and help people instead of weaponizing them, just as Lukashenko is doing.
Lukas, you have to comment.
Yeah, of course. That's very hard accusations, but mostly not very much connected with the truth. International law is based on the treaties, and the treaties include borders. Defense of borders is a very important part of the international treaty and international relations. Poland respects them. When someone attacks your border, no matter what he is, that's aggression. And you got a right, which is important for every state to defend that border. That's first. Second, Poland, from the beginning, at the end of the August, was open for any kind of humanitarian solution. Almost every week, our government was offering a humanitarian convoy to the Belarus. Every such gesture was refused by the Belarusian state. Also, when he said about euthanizing, Mr. Michelski said about euthanizing, about killing people, about breaking of the international law. Let's say that's a very political gesture, which that's a very political declaration where his foundation is a very good one. But this foundation didn't play a very good role in this crisis. For example, at the beginning of the crisis, they were trying to destroy fences and all border instruments. It was done by the head of his foundation. Let's say they are not considered in Poland as a partner for such discussion. But
okay.
The third thing is, the problem is, of course, to make a good humanitarian aid in Poland. And mm-hmm. we still got non-government organizations who are supporting that. But our border guard is not doing anything illegal or against international law.
Mr. Lucas, may I ask a question, please? I'm sorry to jump in. But, you know, you described this at the beginning of our conversation, what is happening, or the people who are ending up at the borders as victims of a campaign, some sort of campaign on the Belarusian side, regardless of what information they're receiving, based on my reporting, information that they will be able to come into the EU if they travel through Minsk. And while I was there, I heard numerous accounts of people who do end up at the Belarusian border and who did manage to either make it through make it to the Belarusian border and did manage to make it through into Poland, being essentially ping-ponged between the two sides. Some people became so frustrated there are people who wanted to leave, but they were not able to leave because they were essentially held back by Belarusian border guards. They were forced to, I'm sure you've seen the reports, they were given clippers and all sorts of things to cut through the fences.
Lydia, what's your question?
What is your responsibility? Yeah, my question is, I mean, given that reality, what responsibility do you see as an EU country? What kind of procedure have you offered to people to be able to apply for asylum, for people who are in this situation, people who describe being trapped essentially between these two borders? And do you see Poland as an EU country
Lydia,
as having a responsibility to do that?
There's the same question that's coming from YouTube
Lydia,
as well. So you're not the
you
only one asking that one. Go ahead, Lucas.
Can I answer?
Please.
Lydia, thank you very much for this. What you said, that's very important. Firstly, they are not trapped between two borders. Border is a line, and they are trapped on the territory of Belarus mostly. Belarus is responsible for their fate. We can only offer humanitarian help. Secondly, a person who crosses illegally Polish border cannot apply legally about any kind of asylum or international safety here, according to the Polish international law. But if someone is in Poland, he could be helped and supported by the humanitarian aid, which is here. But still, let us remember, border is closed. That's a decision of the Polish state. Every kind of crossing of this border is illegal. People whom you describe as a trap are on the territory of the Belarus. We can only offer them humanitarian aid if Alexander Lukashenko will let us
do this.
So, Lucas,
do you mind if I may? I was watching on Al Jazeera News children being blasted with water, with pepper, some kind of pepper or irritant in it. Is that OK because they didn't come to Poland or didn't try to come to Poland legally? Is that OK to do whatever you need to do in order to stop them?
It's not OK when someone is using children as shields and is putting them together with his parent, with their parents, and with the
civil. But it's okay to blast the children, though. You're okay. You're comfortable with blasting children.
No, we are. I'm comfortable with defending our border when someone attacks it,
including children.
That's the decision of the
Can I jump? Can I jump in here?
Frank,
I just want to say that. Yeah, that. Poland is doing what it can do and what most of the states will do. They protect borders, we can understand. But, you know, let's not blame Poland. Let's blame those people who brought these children, these families, these migrants to this situation. Because these people cannot get back. They brought to the forest. They were given grenades, stun grenades. They were given these special clippers. They were given stones. especially to attack the border, because Lukashenko wants to divide. Lukashenko just wants these discussions like we have here right now. Oh, should we accept these migrants or not? Do Poland respect human rights or not? This is exactly what was the plan of Lukashenko, to show like European Union doesn't care about human rights. This is why he organized these hundreds of airplanes flying from Middle East, bringing these people to the border and created these horrible images. These people are hostages. These people are victims of Lukashenko. Definitely, I agree. But let's not blame Poland, because basically Poland is also a victim of Lukashenko's policy. So we should find the solution how to unite international efforts and stop Lukashenko using children.
Let me just bring in, let me bring in Lushenko into this conversation, because on November the 15th, he talked about the migrant situation in Belarus, and this is what he said.
Мы все делаем для того, чтобы этот лагерь не существовал, чтобы желающие попали в Евросоюз, но тот, кто не желает, мы готовы, как это обычно делали, посадить всех в самолеты, в том числе и Белавия, которые отвезут их обратно домой. Но это люди, надо сказать, очень упертые, по-нашему говоря. Никто возвращаться не хочет, и понятно, им некуда возвращаться. У них нет там жилья, они понимают, что там нечем накормить детей. Более того, некоторые просто опасаются за свою жизнь.
So they can try and get into the EU if they can. If they can't get in the EU, we'll put them on planes. Some Iraqis have been picked up and taken home. Lushenko says they don't have a good place to go back to. But Franek, you were saying this is a problem that Belarus created itself. How do we get out of this?
Because we are dealing with a crazy man who is trying just to stay in power by all possible means. You know that he calls myself like I ran away of the country by myself. And the same way he is calling and blaming these migrants. You know, there are many of them sleeping in tents in Minsk downtown. And when few of them are trying to apply for asylum in Minsk, in Belarus, they were refused, and even one guy was deported. This is the real attitude to these people. And I'm really sorry for them, and I'm really sorry that human rights organizations that's supposed to help them were destroyed. Six major human rights organizations were liquidated in August, because before these organizations were helping refugees and asylum seekers like these poor families. But right now, Lukashenko doesn't want to help them. They doesn't let them to stay here. They want to push them in the EU. EU doesn't let them go. So there is also the problem, you know. It's a stalemate somehow. This is why we ask international community to react, to stop Lukashenko, at least to stop bringing new people, to stop cheating them, to stop fooling them. They must know that the way through Belarus, it's a heartless game where they risk their lives.
I want to bring in another voice, Lukas, and put this to you, because a lot of our audience now are saying, so what is the potential solution? How does Poland get out of this? How do the migrants get somewhere where they're safe and protected, etc.? So let's start off with Dennis, first of all. He is a journalist and a data analyst, talking about how did the crisis end. Here he is.
The West should implement sanctions against Lukashenko, broad economic sanctions, and if necessary, broad economic sanctions should be implemented against Putin as well. Equally important is humaneness. There are people who are freezing out there at the eastern border of the European Union, and those people should be allowed in immediately and unconditionally. We cannot call ourselves humans if we treat human beings as a means in the geopolitical game. The solution to this crisis is being tough with the perpetrators, but being kind to the victims of this crisis.
Lukas, I'm also seeing on YouTube a number of our viewers saying, what can Poland do? What is Poland going to do?
There are things we have to do and there are things we want to do. First of them is, of course, defend the border, close it, to show to Mr. Lukashenko that he cannot aggress European Union, he cannot destroy our safety, and he cannot fool and use poor people as an instrument of his revenge on the European Union. Second thing is, of course, to internationalize this conflict. And we've got full support of our partners and friends from the European Union, among them Germany, among them France, United Kingdom and US, in defending that border from Lukashenko's aggression. Of course, there will be probably a necessity, and there is such decision made 4 days ago in Brussels on the session of the Council of the European Foreign Affairs Ministers about widening the sanctions against Belarus. Probably those sanctions will block flights and all those businessmen who support this Lukashenko procedure. But we've got also people there in Belarus. Poland can offer them a humanitarian aid, as I said many times before, here in this...
Mr. Lucas, can you describe that humanitarian aid, please? Because while I was on the ground there, this was one of the major issues, that humanitarian groups were not able to access the restricted zone. You know, in addition to journalists, humanitarian groups were not able to get anywhere near the restricted zone to
not
provide
anywhere,
that humanitarian aid.
Can
anywhere. You describe
not,
that, please?
Dear friend, there were a lot of humanitarian groups were there, but we've got some legal problems. We've got martial law in these regions, and let's say humanitarian group cannot go there without the permission of the authorities. Many of those groups didn't ask for that. But still, you are focused on very small number of people who cross the border and are in the territory of Poland. We still forget about the majority of the people who are suffering, the thousands of people who are on the territory of Belarus attacking Poland. We are forgetting about the real people responsible for that situation. And Poland can offer a humanitarian aid, both to the people who are on the territory of Poland, but mostly it would be useful for them to the people in Belarus.
Lydia, I want to show you, our audience, my laptop, because you sent us some pictures earlier, and just talk us through what we're seeing here on my laptop. Start with this picture.
Yeah, here. I'm sorry, I can't actually see what you're showing right now, but I suspect that some of the pictures of the kind of underground efforts that were
There's a fire station, and it looks like bags of clothes and aid and nappies, etc.
Yes. And this is why I was asking Mr. Lucas about the humanitarian aid. And I would love to hear about specific groups that were able to make it to the border to provide assistance to the people.
Madam, is not underground. So it is made by the non-government organization in the legal city centers with the uniforms of the Polish border guards here in the cloakroom.
Based on my reporting, a lot of this humanitarian aid did have to be distributed through, you know, kind of underground, you know, ad hoc networks, because there wasn't a system that allowed for that. And so locals would come together, gather donations, and then literally package them, leave them in the forest for people who managed to make it through. There was also a fire station in Mihaljovo.
So Lucas and Lydia, you're never going to agree. I feel like you're going to ask the same question over and over again, and Lydia, you'll get the same answer, and then you want to re-ask it. I'm going to leave and put a pause on that for now. I just want to move on with you, Franek, and this idea, this phrase of weaponizing migrants, of being attached to the way that Lukashenko is dealing with this migrant crisis. Just very briefly, do you see it that way too? And could the situation escalate into a conflict?
I am really afraid, and I every day think about this, how to to not allow the situation to escalate into the conflict. Because at some points, we saw that when Belarusian forces were ready to use arms, when they gave these grenades to migrants, to this man, like throw to the Polish side, we were really afraid. So
yeah.
This is why now, you know, we have to make sure there is no escalation, but it will be possible only in case when Lukashenko is contained.
Thank you so much, Franek, Lucas, Lydia, and for your comments and questions about a story that is at the heart of the news right now. Do continue to follow it at aljazeera.com and on Al Jazeera English. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. We'll